In our memory work, it concludes with the statements, "Set my steps in your word and do not let sin rule over me." And as Jerry prayed and we made some observations in class, it's very important for us to understand that how we define right and wrong comes from what God says. It's not things that are most comfortable for us, or the things that even would be the most natural for us. I don't know very many people that turning the other cheek would be considered a natural response. But God still calls on us to do things that that improve who we are as people, even though it may challenge us individually to accomplish those things. So here he said, you know, put my feet in the middle of your word, and then don't let sin rule over me. Anybody that has been trapped by temptations towards sin, some of us in our group have been trapped by alcohol or by drug addiction. Some have been trapped by addictions to, I'm not sure addiction is the right word, but tendencies to pursue whatever our flesh desires. That can be sexual, that can be a gratification of appetite, just eating as much as you desire. There are all kinds of places for us to become undisciplined and not like God. But the caution is that we not let sin rule over us. I think there's something about having God's word before you that helps you in sin avoidance. I remember watching some television show or movie, and I don't remember which it was, and I just thought it was an odd thing to take place, but a couple was about to consummate an affair. And as they got ready to consummate the affair, the husband went over and put his wife's picture face down on the dresser because he was about to be sexually intimate with someone not his spouse. And somehow he couldn't do that if the picture was up. Well, I'm not sure what measure of conscience that indicates that the individual had. But hopefully, we don't stop praying and start doing evil. Hopefully, we don't put God's word down and then say, "Now then, it doesn't matter. You know, I can do whatever I choose." Sin has the power to reign over us, and we have to be aware of it and have to recognize what a threat that is. When I read something like that, my mind goes back to the Garden of Eden and right after that and some of the first sin that gets recorded. We read about the story of Adam and Eve having Cain and Abel. One is a tiller of the ground. The other is a hunter or a caretaker of livestock of some type. It says, "A day came when Cain brought a gift of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, but Abel brought a gift of the firstborn of his flocks and of the fat parts. And the Lord showed favor to Abel and to his gift. But he had no respect for the gift that Cain had brought. So Cain became very angry, and his face became sad. And the Lord said to Cain, 'Why is it that you're so angry? And why are you looking down? Will your face not be happy if you do well?'" You know, my grandparents who raised me didn't read a lot of Bible, but they may have heard this somewhere. I can remember being told, you know, you wouldn't have such a sour expression if you try to do the right things. Well, that's kind of what God's saying here. You know, if you want your face to cheer up a little bit, you might think about getting rid of the anger. You might try doing better. Understand that if you do not choose to do well, that sin is waiting to destroy you. Its desire is to rule over you. But you have to rule over it. Now, I've picked a version for the year, but I like this version. I like how matter-of-fact it is in this place. Understand that sin wants to control your world. And you have to make decisions so that does not happen. We don't ooze into obedience. We don't just eventually become the people that we're supposed to be. It requires choices. And those choices require some measure of practice, some measure of development of proficiency. I was
telling somebody about this the other day. When I was in junior high, my father, his company had tickets to the Detroit Tigers games, and we didn't live very far from Tiger Stadium. And so if nobody else took the tickets were available and anybody could take them. So we took tickets anytime we could. And so we were kids who were excited about seeing big league ball players. And I had a baseball glove that had been autographed by Denny McClain and everybody that was on the Detroit Tigers one of the years in the 70s, in the late 60s, that they won the World Series. And I was so proud of it, I used it every day. And I would leave it out at night, and, you know, pretty soon it didn't exist anymore. But for a long time, as a kid, I would sleep with that under my pillow. Because somehow, if I was in close enough proximity to the greatness of those signatures, I would become a great ball player. But that's not how it works. I mean, you can wear Kevin Durant's jersey if you want to, but that ain't going to make you jump higher. You can wear Usain Bolt's track uniform, but you're going to run just about as fast as you always run. Those things don't alter who we are. What alters who we are is the decisions that we make about who we are, and then the effort that we take in turning that around. We need to see sin as it is, and it is not neutral. It's not something that is benign. Its motivation is to rule us. It seeks to rule us. And if we don't check it, if we don't somehow restrict it, it will rule us. It'll take us over, and we'll wonder how we got to where we are. Well, it happened the same way all things happen to us. Terry and I were joking at when he was in the hospital one day. And Terry talked about how many pounds of fluid they took off of around his heart. You know, they didn't they shut the pump off too quick. I mean, you know, they could have taken another 100 pounds and not hurt him at all. Okay. Well, how did we get in this shape? Well, it didn't happen yesterday. It has to do, as we both understand about our respective sizes, it has to do with choices that we make or choices we fail to make. And sometimes those choices that we make in the physical world end up restricting our mobility or compromising our health, and we're thankful that Terry's health is good, but I mean, those things restrict us. But in a spiritual realm, they become devastating to us. They do us in. And I think it's interesting in the case that we look at in Genesis 4 that he says, "Why are you angry and why is your face fallen?" Many times, anger or it doesn't even have to be anger. It can be a different type of emotional volatility. It can be something else that triggers us inside. Many times that's a precursor to the sin. And if you can address the anger early on, as is being suggested by God to Cain here, if you can address this early on, you'll be able to control it. But you won't control it down the line. I've told you before about a little boy that was in my office who said that he couldn't control his temper. He said, "When I get mad, I just blow up. And I hit whoever's there." I said, "Didn't realize that." So in my typical therapy manner, in about 20 minutes, I started ticking him off. And I started really, really getting him mad. And he was angry. And I went over and stood right over him and loomed over him and looked down on him and just kept provoking him. And I said, "I'm curious, why haven't you hit me?" He says, "You're too much bigger than me. You'll kill me." I said, "Well, I thought you couldn't control your anger." "Well, I can't." I said, "Well, you're controlling it now." We control when we choose to. Now, is it possible? And I know that it is, so it's a rhetorical question. Is it possible I could have pushed him to the point that he would have struck out? Certainly is. You know, and the reason that I'm a therapist is because I can read when I'm getting people to that point and I back up. The reason that I'm a living therapist and not a dead therapist or badly bruised one. But he needed to understand, as we need to understand, that control is within our grasp if we choose before we cross the line. But I can tell you that if you're elbow deep in a pecan pie or an apple pie, you're not going to sit back and say, "Oh, I'm not sure this is going to be good for me." You know, if you're trying to lick the bottom of the ice cream box, it's probably too late. Okay, now, obviously those are ridiculous illustrations, but you understand what I'm talking about. If you get that far into it, you're probably past the point of fixing it. And so God tells Cain, recognize where you are. Now's the time for you to alter your course, for you to change how you function. And so as you think about your favorite sins, which, and you know more about those than anyone else will know, As you think about your list of favorite sins, the ones that you give yourself permission to commit without having a lot of remorse or a lot of sadness around it, as you get up close to those sins, understand that you have to make the choice ahead of entering in. You have to decide that ahead of time. One of my ex-clients showed up on Hutchinson Police Most Wanted list, I guess is what you'd say. And it was a picture of shoplifters. It said, we need information on this person. Well, I recognized him right away. You know, I don't have any idea where he is anymore, but I know who he is. And they did too. And he had been shoplifting again, and they had decided to go ahead and prosecute him this time. When Walmart, you know, maybe this will help us in our propensity to shoplifting. But if you shoplift from Walmart, they give you an empty bucket or empty basket, and they have you wheel it all through the store and pull off everything out of the shelves that you've shoplifted. This young man worked for them, and they said, you need to fill the basket and understand that we have you on videotape. Now, if you want to cooperate with this and do it, we'll get along fine. If you don't, then we'll just utilize the tape and we'll prosecute you. So he went through and he pulled everything off and ran it. Then they take it up to the checkout line, scan it, and then he signs a promissory note for whatever the cash register receipt is. And he has to pay back that through a promissory note. And following that, they told him that he was placed in a register and they were going to file a trespass order on him. And if he ever returned to any Walmart store anywhere in the country, that he would be prosecuted. So if he ever used a debit card that had his name on it, that he'd be prosecuted. Think about that. You're 18 years old and you make a decision and suddenly you can't shop at Walmart the rest of your life. Now, that may not sound like a big deal until you recognize that 85% of all groceries sold in the United States come from Walmart. What percent of clothing? What percent? It is kind of a dominant place. So as he and I were talking, when did you decide that you were going to do this? Always a whim. You mean you just went through and did it one day without even thinking about it? See, that's not how sin happens. You and I both know that's not how sin happens. That's the excuses that we give for our sin. I just wasn't thinking, and the next thing I knew, we were both naked in the back seat of the car. But that's not how that took place. You know, we were just talking, and the next thing I knew, I had my spouse by the shoulders and was banging them against the wall. That's not how that took place. We were just telling the story, and the next thing I knew, I'd fabricated this big lie. That's not how that takes place. God's very clear that there are steps ahead of sin. Those things are called temptation. And you have to stop the sin at the temptation point, not when it culminates. Not when you have your head in the ice cream bucket. You have to stop it before you put it in there. And all of us have a responsibility to recognize what are the things that lead us, or make it easier for us to commit this sin? And how do I get away from that? Maybe if certain things make you angry, you can't be involved in those things anymore. You know, maybe you just can't do that. But we have to recognize sin for what it is and the destruction that it has for us. Cain then told this to his brother Abel. Cain went and said, God said I was mad and my face was dragging the ground. And then suddenly, when they were in the field, he stood up and he killed his brother Abel. It's not very hard to fail the test. All of us have been on the other side where we get to the point where we look around and think, man, how did I get here? What did I do that let me be in this spot? Well, that's a really important question. And you have to go backwards. But what we're suggesting to you is go backwards with the Word of God. Plant your feet there. And go back and reflect on your behavior and see how you can change it and how you can make it better. Proverbs 5 tells us a similar story. It's told in story form. I always think of the most enticing caricature that I can. And I don't use people that I'm really attracted to. The cartoon version of Mae West is the cartoon that I have in my head about this person. I'll show you what I mean in a little bit. It says, my son, listen to my wisdom and turn your ear to my understanding, so that you may know what good thinking, or what is good thinking, and keep your lips, or have your lips keep much learning. The lips of a strange woman are as sweet as honey, and her talk is as smooth as oil. Now, here's the Mae West caricature. You know, her lips drip honey. She just looks succulent. She looks exactly like every dream fantasy that this person's had. Her talk is as smooth as oil. But in the end, she's as bitter tasting as wormwood and as sharp as a sword that cuts both ways. The end result is it's going to be awful. If you haven't read my bulletin article yet today, I received these great strawberries for a gift for my birthday. And these things are, strawberries are that big around. And they're not, they don't taste like straw. I mean, they taste wonderful. It's incredible. And when you bite into one, it runs all into your beard. You know, it's a perfect kind of strawberry. And Janet and I split two of them yesterday. Can you imagine splitting strawberries? But we divided them up and ate a couple of them yesterday. So this morning, Janet decided she would give me strawberries with my a strawberry with my breakfast. And my breakfast was going to be yogurt. Now, a few months ago, Janet decided we needed to be healthier at my house. So she went and she got the yogurt that we like. That's not good for you. And she got yogurt she knew I wouldn't like, because it's supposed to be good for you. And usually there's fruit in the bottom of this, and so I can stir it up and kind of pretend that I'm eating the fruit, even though I'm swallowing the other stuff. But this morning, this wonderful strawberry is on top of this yogurt, and I'm thinking, boy, that looks good. And even as I'm talking about it, the glands are going in my mouth, and I'm thinking about this and having to wipe my mouth, because these are great strawberries. We didn't bring any to share today. well, just being honest, I was tempted to say, well, you know, we're out of them. No, we still have them. We just didn't bring them. So this yogurt comes, and I take my spoon, and I get some of the yogurt, and I get a big piece of strawberry because I have to swallow the yogurt. And it was so disappointing. I mean, it tasted awful. And it tasted worse because I was expecting it to be wonderful and taste like the strawberry. And it's kind of like putting rhubarb in a cherry pie. You know, why? Well, this woman sounds like she's going to be wonderful. You come with me and it'll be the best you've ever had. Nothing can be better than this. And so she fires him up. And he's chasing as hard as he can chase. But in the end, you don't taste the strawberry. You taste the yogurt. In the end, you don't taste the good part. You taste the bad part. And if you think about, and this is where my cartoon character comes in, if you think about going out here to the cemetery and finding an open grave, and think about a staircase that goes down and descends into that grave. This woman's leaning on a rail on the top of it saying, "Follow me." But her feet take you down into the grave. The only direction you're going to end up is in death and in destruction. I need to ask, you know, there's certain things that don't make sense. A date in the graveyard, that doesn't make sense, that you would meet someone you're in love with at a graveyard, but then I may not understand cemeteries. Don, how is it that you have no picnics or no overnight camping in front of the cemetery at Peace Creek?
No camping.
No camping. Was that ever a problem?
What?
People would park, you know, that. If I'm pitching a tent, it's not going to be in a cemetery. Okay. All right. Now, this, maybe that sign makes a little bit of difference, but, you know, this cemetery would have a sign that says, "No solicitation." Now, that would seem like an odd thing to have to do. But this woman is soliciting him. And her steps go down into death. And her feet go down into the hold of hell. She doesn't think about the path of life. Her ways go this way and that. And she doesn't even know it. Let me attempt to give a measure of credit to some people. Because sometimes we're really, really hard on folks. You may have friends that you cannot allow to be as big an influence as they are in your lives. It could be that you have some friends that you just can't let be that kind of influence. When I'm with them, you get in trouble. We were those kids when I was a kid. Parents would tell their kids, "You can't play with the feral boys. We don't want you to play with them. Because we go do wild stuff and they get in trouble." The reality is, our steps went this way and that, and we really, in a lot of situations, we really were not planning evil. It just ended up evil. It ended up wrong. It wasn't that we plotted and say, "How do we do something that's horrible?" But because we had no discipline, because we had no direction, we ended up doing wrong things. She doesn't even know where it's going to end up.
There are those who entice, who tell you it won't be that bad, that we won't get in trouble, and it's only going to happen this once. But the reality is that her feet lead to death and destruction. So no matter what the rationale is that you use in your head, this is the end result. And we have to know it. Now, my sons, listen to me. And do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Keep far away from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Why? Stop at the gate. Don't go to the door. Stop at the corner of her street. Don't go to the door. When you get to the door, it's too late. So don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will give your strength to others, your years to those who have no loving kindness. Strangers will be filled with your fruit, or with your strength, and the fruits of your work will go to a strange house. You'll end up losing. All he's saying is very simple. You will lose everything that you have. If you follow the ways of those who are undisciplined, you lose everything you've got. The reality is this. Sin costs you everything that you are. And when you don't think about the results of your sin, the results of your path, you're actually participating in being robbed of your future. And the path always ends up in the same place. God's word doesn't tell us that to say, we don't want you to have fun in life. God's word doesn't tell you that to say, well, if you like that, you can't have it. God says, don't do things that are going to get you in trouble. The woman who was taken in the act of adultery and before Jesus, Jesus didn't say, you know, they're right, you ought to be stoned to death. He said, everybody has these problems, but don't do this again. Don't get caught this way once more. So we want to see God's word as helping us to improve. We want to see God's law as being helpful to us rather than harmful. We want to have our eyes open to his way so that we can see what he wants and what he expects, and even the reasons behind it. And then we want to be seen by God with grace-filled eyes so that we might walk in a path that's devoted to his ways and not let sin rule over us. If there's a way we can help you be who Jesus calls you to be today, all you need to do is come as together we stand and sing.